Thank you for walking us down memory lane. I saw my daddy sitting at the breakfast table while you were singing that, sipping on that coffee cup, turning that saucer up. Aren't you grateful for a God who can meet you where you are, knows everything that you need? This morning, I want to share a message that will bring to a conclusion. I'm not really sure about next Sunday. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Isn't that right? Yeah. It'd be a great day to worship the Lord with your mother, if that's possible, or to remember her in a very special way. But I want to share with you today a message entitled simply, The Blessed Hope of the Believer. When I say the blessed hope, if we had been first century Christians, we would not have had to wonder what that applies to or refers to or is talking about. Because the word hope in the New Testament is not maybe this will happen or maybe that will happen. It is a confident expectation based on biblical truth that we can stand on and declare as done because it's a part of the promises of God.
Amen.
The blessed hope of the believer. We're going to look at several passages. One is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and your outline says verses 14 through 18, but I'm going to read verse 13 as well. Then we're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and Titus chapter 2, and I think they're all there for you. And follow along as I share these verses. The blessed hope of the believer. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, and I made myself a note there, and I wrote in the margin of my notes, for since we believe, because we believe, and as a result of our belief, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. A picture and a reference to those who are saints of God who've gone on to heaven ahead of us and are waiting on us there. This morning, as Nib and I were drinking our coffee and getting ready for church, we received a text from some dear friends of ours that we were expecting because we had been in contact with family. One of our dear friends, almost 92 years old, went home to be with the Lord this morning, quietly in his sleep. And so in the New Testament, sometimes there's a reference to the saints that have gone before us, those that are sleeping. That doesn't mean soul sleep. Doesn't mean the soul is asleep, but it's a picture. They look like they're asleep, so it was a term and a description used to describe those that have gone ahead before us. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this is saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, that's you and me, under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. We will not go ahead of them, but for the Lord Jesus himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. I believe it'd be safe to say that in most congregations in that first century, when this passage was read, there might have been some shouting going on, some hallelujah, glory times going on, because it was the blessed hope of the believers that one day sweet Jesus is going to return in the clouds of glory. We talked about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of our Lord Jesus. And we're talking about the blessed hope of the believer that is ours, the confident expectation that one day sweet Jesus is going to come again for his bride. The last part of the story is yet to be told. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we found the coming of our Lord pictured from the Mount of Transfiguration. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord is to be followed by the shout and the trump of God, and the soon return of our Lord Jesus. I say soon because it's been 2,000 years since the Lord made that promise. And folks, it's just as sure and just as real as if he made it today. And then don't kid yourself. The Lord's on his way. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we do know for sure he's on his way. Then in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live sober, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe I would be safe to say that one of the maladies of the modern churches, we've gotten so accustomed to hearing sermons about the coming of our Lord, we've stopped looking for the coming of our Lord. And I want to tell you, folks, if you ever get a hold, and if I ever get a hold of the truth of this glorious, glorious text, that one day sweet Jesus is going to return in the clouds of glory, the trouble of God, and to snatch us out of this world and take us back to glory to be with him. Folks, it'll make a difference in how you get up in the morning and how you face the trials and difficulties of life. I want to share with you several principles this morning about the glorious or the blessed hope of the believer and try to help us understand what that time will be like, what it'll look like. Let me share with you one illustration. I'm sure I've shared this with you. It may have been several years ago, but I'm sure I've shared it before. But I want you to picture your pastor as a young, I'm about 9 years old, 10 years old. I'm sitting in the back of a 1953 Chevy or Ford, I forget what it was. It had a great big back seat. Y'all remember those cars with great big back seats? And my younger brother and I, 2 years younger, he was always getting me in trouble. I said that tongue-in-cheek. But we kind of got into a fuss, and so my daddy said, y'all behave back there in that back seat. And he pulled the car over to the side of the road. He turned around and said, I don't want to hear you fussing anymore. And I just pouted. You ever pouted? Somebody said no, somebody said yes. But I thought to myself, if you're going to be that way, just let me out of this car and let me walk. Do you know what my daddy did? He stopped that car on the side of the road. It was on Airline Road in Huntsville, Alabama, going toward Whitesburg. He said, okay, Jackie, if you want to walk, go ahead and help yourself. So I got out of the car and off over the hill drove a 53 Ford. My mother gone, my daddy gone, my brother gone, and I was abandoned on the side of the road. In just a moment, a little lady pulled up in a very great big black car. I don't know what it was, but she rolled down her window and she said, son, what are you doing out here? And I responded as only I could. I said, hi, my mom and daddy have left me. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And she said, well, honey, you get in the car with me. Uh-huh. Now, I know we always teach our children don't get in the car with other people you don't know, but I was so glad. If she'd been the devil's mama, I'd gotten in the car. And I reached to get hold of that car door and get into it, and guess what happened? Over the hill came a 53 Ford. Mom and daddy had never taken their eyes off of us, they were watching me all along. And I was never so glad to see them, and I forgave them of everything they'd ever done. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face and tell the story saved by grace, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. And folks, if there's anything we need as a church is to regain the vision and the certainty of the soon coming of our Lord and go to bed at night and say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Come and snatch your bride out of this old world because it'll be a time of great and glorious anticipation. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Then in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He won't be robed in blood the next time we see Him. He won't be a crown of thorns. It'll be a time of great anticipation. Sometimes the weight of this world gets kind of heavy on our hearts. It's hard to face the day to come, and we're not sure exactly how we're going to make it. Folks, keep your eyes on the eastern sky. And one of these days the Lord's going to come. It's going to be in God's perfect timing. When He does, all sorrows He will erase. The truth is, God's sending His Son to say, Son, one day it'll come. Son, it's time to go get your church. Go get your bride and bring them home. It's a time of great and glorious anticipation. Lord, help us to pray even because so come, Lord Jesus. Help us to face the promises of God and deal with them in spite of the storms. It's a time not only of great anticipation, it's a time of celebration. Now, folks, I know a lot of times in churches across the country there are debates about worship styles and so forth, and we don't get into all that, but I want to tell you, I think our Pentecostal friends have got it right when they talk about lifting up holy hands unto the Lord. Yes. Folks, I want to tell you what, there's sometimes we just need to bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Yes. You don't have to raise your hands, you don't have to dance in the aisles, but I want to tell you, folks, we ought to celebrate the promises of God. Because it's a time of great and glorious anticipation. It's a time of celebration. Since we believe Jesus died and rose again, even them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. In God's glorious train of the saints of God, they're going to come back in glory with Him to call us out of this old world and prepare us for eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, the last chapter has not yet taken place. The best is yet to come. And the Lord's got a plan for His church. He's got a plan for you. It begins by trusting Him as your Lord and walking with Him as your Savior and Master. It's a time of great and glorious celebration. Libby and I were with some friends the other day. We'd gone out to supper and they said to us, "Have you been to the new Bucky's? Nobody near Athens." Now, folks, there's a place kind of a lot like heaven down here. At least in some ways. If you haven't been to a Bucky store, you go to one. But guess what happened? Me and my friend were walking through the store, and Libby and the other lady had gone off shopping, doing something spiritual. And we came across somebody that I hadn't seen, didn't know who they were, looked. And I said, "Do I know you?" And they said, "Well, you should." I and the lady shared her name. She was a girl I grew up with in Lacey Springs, Alabama. I hadn't seen her in 50 years. And we just celebrated and praised the Lord and had a good time of just reminiscing and remembering. And I thought, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face and tell the story saved by grace. But folks, one of these days I'm going to see my mom and daddy again. These days I'm going to see my younger brother again. In fact, I've got two brothers. I got a younger brother that never brought home from the hospital. He died because of heart problems. And his name was Hunter. And mom and daddy used to talk about it often, about wondering how he would have turned out. But one of these days I'll know, because I'll see him for the very first time. Heaven's family reunion, heaven's glorious homecoming is going to be a time of great celebration, a time of great anticipation. By the way, if you go someplace and they get a little bit lively in their worship, don't let that bother you. It's all right. It's not much danger of many things getting out of hand in most churches, is it? I said, there's not much danger of things getting out of hand in most churches. Did y'all hear that? Lord, it would be a good thing just to see you get a hold of us one of these days. We have a worship glorious encounter with the Lord that causes us just to praise Him however you want to praise Him. But the Bible says one of these days He's coming in the clouds of glory. It's a time of great and glorious celebration. And the loved ones are going to bring, are they going to bring with him? I've often talked about Hartselle, Alabama, and the Methodist campground that's there, that we had our family reunions there every year. You've heard me mention it on a number of occasions. We don't have those anymore because all of them, almost all of them, are gone now. Can you imagine what it'll be like when you see your parents coming down that road of glory? When you see your siblings, when you see your friends and your neighbors, when we see Gil again, our dear friend who went home to be with the Lord this morning. Oh my goodness, what a marvelous time of rejoicing and celebration. And we see the Lord Jesus come in the clouds of glory. It's a time of glorious and glorious celebration. And it's a time of revelation in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I believe it's the shout of triumph and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I love what one great preacher said years ago, that when the Lord comes and the shout of God echoes across the heavens, every cemetery where the saints of God have been buried will look like new plowed ground. Yes. Because God's calling them out of that grave and getting, raising that body, giving them a perfect body to go along with their resurrected spirit and their soul. It's a time of glorious revelation. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the voice of the archangel and the shout and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We've not seen our loved ones in the Lord for the last time. The best is yet to come. But it's also a time of grievous separation. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew said, two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women should be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. The glorious hope of the Lord Jesus is a time for separation. It's a time to avoid eternal separation. And the picture here is that there's coming a time when some may say no to the glorious gospel for the last time. And the door of God's grace may be closed because they said no to God for the last time. That's why it says, lift your eyes. The Lord's on his way. Comfort you one another with these words. And just yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk to one of my friends from growing up in Lacey Spring, Alabama. He's a preacher himself. And he was a pretty tough guy growing up. In fact, his name is Jerry. He's a Marine in Vietnam. He was one of those guys you wanted to be in good favor with Jerry. You didn't want Jerry upset at you because Jerry was tougher than a pine knot. But Jerry and I were talking on the phone, and he said, Jack, I want to tell you that Eugene died, a mutual friend of ours. And he said, I've been by his house several times to talk to him about Jesus, and Eugene never ever gave his heart and life to the Lord. As far as I know, he never was saved. He went home. He passed away this morning. Folks, the Bible's declaration of the soon coming of our Lord is not just so we can put a date on the calendar. It's so that we might be prepared, and we might care everybody with us we can possibly take with us. If you've got husbands or wives or sons or daughters or brothers or sisters or friends or neighbors that don't know the Lord, don't wait until it's too late to get a burden on your heart for them. Weep over their souls. Share the gospel with them. Pray that God will send somebody to them to reach them for the Lord Jesus. The Lord's glorious coming is a time of grievous separation. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And I would close this morning by simply saying the Lord's, the trumpet coming of our Lord, the glorious appearing of our Lord is a time for immediate preparation. Don't put it off. I oftentimes wonder, in talking to my friend Brother Jerry, he preached at a little church not long ago. He said there weren't but 12 people that were there. But he said at that time of the invitation, four of them came forward and gave their heart and life to Jesus. You never know where people are spiritually. Share the gospel. Live the gospel. Share your burden. Your burden for folks that are lost. Therefore, be you ready. My question to you this morning is this. Are you ready? Should the Lord come today? Should the shout of God echo across the heaven and Jesus, no longer robed in blood, no longer robed in a crown of thorns, if he were to come back today and snatch us out of this old world, would you be saved? Have you given your heart to Jesus? Do you know that you know that if you died today, you'd have a home in heaven? Heaven's family reunion, God's glorious payday someday, God's wonderful homecoming day, all whatever you want to call it. It's a glorious, glorious hope, confident expectation. One day, I look around, we're going to see it. We're going to hear a shouting across the heavens and see the coming of sweet Jesus. I've given my heart to Jesus. I seek to serve him, and I know that many and most of you have too. If you've not done that, let me urge you to, before you leave today, find me and say, but Jackie, can I talk to you about being saved? It'd be my privilege to tell you how to repent of sin, how to receive Christ, how to trust him as your Lord and Savior. And you can be a part of God's glorious expectation and soon coming of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Bow with me for a moment, would you please?